we were just buying beer, and I just see Money IPA. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know we were in Connecticut. That's always fun.
Welcome back to the Craft Brewers Creative Podcast for lovers of all things creative and visual, but not necessarily drinkable in the craft beer industry. I'm your host, Jenna Steele, and I'm here every week so that you can hear my interviews and conversations with brewers, artists, beer can lovers, and more. So this week we're going to be chatting with Daniel F. Birch. So we're going to hear my interview with him. He is the artist for everything we see from Barrier Brewing Co. in Oceanside, New York. I'm really excited about that. But anyways, so if you want to keep up with me weekly and never miss an episode, make sure to go right now and click follow or subscribe on this podcast. I would really appreciate it, and you will not regret it. So anyways, let's get to this interview. I'm so excited. I think I'm like really partial to anything from the tri-state area. Oh, home. Okay, let's get to it. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
I'm so excited to have you on today. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. And so I just kind of want to start off by just hearing a little bit more about you, how you got into designing beer cans, and yeah, what that's looked like.
Years ago, my friend started homebrewing, and then I started homebrewing. I was let go from a job, and I got hired by a distributor here in New York, and I worked there for like a few years. And as soon as I left there, I tried getting a job anywhere, like designing labels for breweries, and Barrier's the one that stuck, and I'm still with them after 6 years now. So,
oh wow,
that's how it started.
Yeah. So, do you remember the first beer can you ever designed? Was it? It was with Barrier.
Oh yeah. It was a bottle, and it was Axela, and we had a lot of disagreements on it. It's a fish song, and I'm not that much of a fish fan. And they wanted it to have like a hippie chick with her arm up, and like stank lines would spell out Axela. I'm like, that's just not gonna look or like sell very well. Like, I don't want this to be my first label. And I went to a beer event, and I was talking to my buddy Christian, and he is a big fish fan. He was like, oh, well, that song starts off with some guitar thing. And so I just did like a close up of gnarly hands, and that's the label pretty much.
It's so funny that you mentioned it's a fish thing, because my brother is actually a massive fish fan. And so like there's just such a huge culture, and there's so many people involved in, but it's so specific that I know nothing about, but people are passionate.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him recently about there should be a fish beer collab where there's like a whole line, and every single can is just a different like ode to fish in some way. And he's a lawyer, so he was getting all up about like the copywriting and the copyright of it all. But that's so funny that was your first one.
Yeah. And I've done plenty of other fish references for Barrier too. Like I'll listen to the songs. Like, they're psychedelic. So they're a psychedelic band. So I like the imagery of fish. I'm just not that much of a fan of the music myself, but, so visually it's fun for me. But yeah. I wish I liked the music.
I know, me too. There were like 3 years in a row where he wanted me to come to the New Year's Eve fish Madison Square Garden thing. And I'm like, mm-hmm. as much as I want to go, I think I hate the music.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I love that. I'll have to look those up because I don't think I've seen them. So with those being, you know, the first, or that being the first one that you did, how has the collaborative process, though, kind of changed over the time? Because you said there were some disagreements. Because you kind of won that argument a little bit because you didn't have that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I sent them, like, a quick sketch, and that was pretty much the finish. Like, it was just black and white at that point, but that was pretty much the final. And I told them my idea, and they're like, no, we want what we asked you for. And then I drew it because I was like, I do not want to draw that. Like, I had drawn, like, what they wanted and, like, some other ideas. Like, I was trying to make it, like, obscure. Like, it was, like, a forest of armpits or something. Like, to make it weird, but, like, it's not an armpit. Like,
and did they realize they were like, wait, this isn't what we're going for?
Luckily they saw and they're like, that's it. That's the label. So
okay.
Ever since then, when I push back, they'll hear me out because I've proven myself time and time again. But I mean, sometimes, you know, I do have to do what they ask me.
Yeah. So ever since you found, you know, this type of design work, it sounds like you haven't gone back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, when I left the distributor, I got my first label's, like, big project was a hot sauce company, Hell's Kitchen, which I still do labels for as well. And then Barrier saw those labels and they're like, oh, you do labels? I'm like, yes, I've been telling you guys I'll do whatever you want. Like, I was going to do, like, just bar posters, like beer event posters. Like, I wanted to do something for Barrier because I thought the beer was great. They just needed cooler labels. So that's where I came in. And like I said, 6 years later, here I am still.
So when you first get the name of a beer, is what, how do you start going?
Sometimes, like when I did the Alewife labels for their Lupulin series, was like a hop change each beer. Like, if it said, if the hops were like lemony and stuff, like there would be some yellows and stuff like that.
So out of all of the ones you've done so far or ones you have coming up, do you have a favorite project you've done specifically with the beer cans or bottles even?
Well, one, this one's hasn't been made in a couple years, but Azores was a hopped up Pilsner, and that beer and that label were pretty great. And I drew it on like a really thick illustration board, which I usually don't. And I used a really fancy pen that I got. So the line work on that one is really nice. I went all out on that one. Recently, I'm trying to think.
And I have to say, I love that you're literally turning around to look at a wall of beer cans you have in your apartment hanging up that you've designed.
These are the most recent, the ones right behind me. And then the ones like in the kitchen over there are also pretty recent as well. I would have to say like Oil City recently, when the pandemic shut everything down. And I thought I had lost a job because I didn't realize at that point that beer was essential business at yet. So I was like, oh no. But I had that on the docket already. So I'm like, well, I guess I'll do this. And if I get paid, that would be great because I need money coming in.
Yeah. I mean, I love this label.
Like, I did
so
that label
much.
And it turned out awesome.
Yeah, I love this one so much. If you're listening and you can't obviously see this at the moment, it's like this dark sky with neon, like, buildings with flames coming out of it. And it's just...
It's an oil refinery.
An oil refinery. Got it. And it's just
it's like electric. You can like feel the energy, but the sky is also kind of ominous, where it kind of does feel like, oh no, the pandemic's coming. We don't know what's about to happen. But so looking at it, you know, we see the barriers, the label is like electric. It has such a personality, but then, you know, the Barrier Brewing Co.'s label or logo is a bit flat compared. So what are your thoughts on their logo? And I think you mentioned that you're helping them rebrand and with a new logo. And so,
The logo is, as of today, I finished a new logo for them, and that'll be going out like as soon as I get off this call. And they've
had it for a long time, right? The current one?
Yeah, they've had it since they opened, like in 2009. And I think the B is excellent, except, you know, making that black and white, it's been so difficult because the blues in it, you can't just make that black, and you can't make them white because then it looks like it's missing something. So what I did was I kept the general feel of that B because I think it's important for the brand recognition. But I made it so the blues could be taken out or kept in for just like the extra oomph. And I changed the typeface because that typeface is a little behind the times now. I think that's Algiers, which is Alaskan Beer Company used that for a bit. It's more like 90s, early 2000s, which is when it was made. So, but yeah, that'll be releasing soon. So that's exciting. Like, I can't wait to see a beer can where I've designed everything. Like, Alewife, I designed half of that logo, and that was the text. I didn't design the icon, although I did clean up the icon. I did another brand earlier this year. That I updated them because they were very 90s. Was Ho River out in Washington, and I redid their logo, but they haven't updated on their site or anything, so I guess it was just for the three labels I did, but that's another story.
We'll have to check back in on that one in a few months and see what's going on there. So have you had a least favorite logo, or even just like maybe you were doing at it in a time in your life that you weren't happy with, or just bad juju here?
I very much have one of those. That is Pound for Pound. It was a collab with Aslan Beer Company. It was a Barrier and Aslan beer. And it started off cool. And then I was like mostly done with it. And they were like, oh, we want to make it like the Charlotte Hornets colors. I'm like, well, that sort of feels, that changes like the feel, the overall feel of what I had. And it just like, I added it. I'm like, I hate it. And they're like, we love it. I'm like, great.
Hey.
So that label, not a fan. Also, like the original lettering, it was a little harder to read, but it looked cooler. Now it's easier to read, but it's more boring.
Yeah. So then from a consumer point of view, how do you buy beer?
Well, if it's from Europe, usually the worse the label, the better the beer. Although that's been changing in the past few years. And
that's interesting. Can you give like, it, what do you mean by that?
Like some of the weird Belgian beer brands. I can't think of the name. It has like this goofy, like little puffy dude on it. It's like,
Oh yeah. What's it called?
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It has a little.
Yeah. Those labels. I wish I remember the name, but those labels aren't the greatest, but man, those beers are awesome.
Oh wait, are you talking about the St. Bernardus, or how do you say that?
No. St. Bernardus.
Yeah. That one.
That looks okay. Like they're very traditional.
Yeah.
They're a bit boring. They could use an update. But I do like the St. Bernardus Monk guy.
He's cute. Cool. He makes me happy.
Yeah.
So with your home brewing,
like when I'm buying beer, it's like I'm looking for whatever style. Like I look for like a lot of pilsners, low ABV IPAs, because I like to have a few. Like I like to just drink a few, and
yeah,
and then I'll look at the art. Like the art is definitely what grabs the eye. Actually, I was just at Barrier this weekend, and I was getting a couple beers at the bar, and this guy had come from upstate, and he's like, I saw the money can, and I had to check out this brewery because that beer can was so cool. I'm like, oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really the power of it, though, too. It's like, and like you said, like it literally brought someone from upstate to the brewery just for that, and like that's kind of remarkable.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like I remember when I was just starting off with Barrier, there were no like real art cans in New York. Like I was looking at Prairie in Oklahoma. Like their beer cans are awesome. Still awesome. Still great beer. And I was looking at all these other brands in other places that were really like the art cans were just starting out. Like I feel like I got in on the ground floor, which was nice.
And when was this?
And this was like 2005, 2004, 2005. Yeah. Something like that. And yeah, now we have like here in New York alone, it's like, we have so many, we have, Earl at KCBC with Christy, who does all the text on those. Both of them do stellar work. Rhymey over at Rockaway Brewing Company doing really cool stuff. Like even Six Point updated their stuff and like really hands illustrated stuff. And yeah, it's just been nice to see like more art on cans, because that's what I want.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why I'm here. I mean, my love for the industry really came from, you know, that side of things, not even because I'm that much of a beer drinker. mm-hmm. Right. So I was wondering, do you have any like major goals? Like what would it take for you to be like, I just reached my design, like can or label, whatever, branding goals?
I mean, I definitely reached the goal that I set out when I started doing labels. I was like, I want to be like a brand for beer, and that's Barrier. So that's been accomplished. The next thing I would love, I don't know when or if I could do this, but I would love to do a studio with a whole bunch of people, different strengths and stuff, and you know, just do a lot of beer brands. And like there's a few of those in the West Coast, like in Portland and Cali, and I don't really think there's any here in New York or anything, so that would be nice. But I need capital for that, and I would need to probably reorganize as well. So,
Did you study art?
I did study school. Yes.
I also studied some school. But so did you study art? Were you ever like a fine arts person, or tell me about that?
Oh yeah, I went to Syracuse University originally for design, but I mentally was not ready for the comm design program. It's like only like 60 kids end up graduating from it. And I, at the time, I was not ready. I'm glad I took like a semester of it, because that ingrained a lot of really hard work in, where I don't think I would have gotten that from the illustration program at the time. The illustration program has changed since, and I think it's gotten better. Like I was the last of the old school professors. Like we had Murray Tinkelman, who's now dead, but he like made us get slides and work from slides. So like super old school, which also I think was great. And I still do everything when I can by hand. And like, I have a whole, like, I'm talking to you on my computer, on my flat file, which has like all the drawings for all the barrier labels and stuff. But yeah, like went to school for it, just have been trying to, like, I've always wanted to do labels. I don't know why.
I love that you knew that. So then you said your first, or your job previously was at a distributor. So what were you doing there?
Mm-hmm. I was doing posters and menus, like cooler wraps. Like the distributor I worked for did all the Bud in Brooklyn. So they were just, like, if you see a Bud anything, I did that, did all those. But obviously the fun stuff was the craft beer, and they were one of the biggest craft beers distributors at the time.
And then, so something I wanted to ask you about too was, and you kind of just touched on it, is, you know, the craft beer community is such a... Mm-hmm. eclectic but close-knit but exciting and just passionate community that is kind of unlike anything I've ever really seen in another industry. Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to hear a little bit about, you know, your take on it after all these years. You know, have you seen it change? Have you seen, you know, have you been able to find work through it, made good friends? You know, how has your experience been in this?
Very much. Like, when I took my old job at the distributor, like, I definitely took a cut in what I wanted to earn because I knew it would lead me to, you know, connections, which is ultimately what I wanted from the job. Fine. 3 years, I did my time and I got out. And, like, I've met so many great people, and yeah, like I get new work from people that I've met along the way. And Danielle, who I think recommended you talk to me, mm-hmm. I've actually never met her. I was going to Texas to meet my dad, and I asked for like good brewery recommendations in Houston, and she gave me a few, or I think it was Dallas. I forget which. But she gave me a few, and ever since then, we've been friends. We talked beer and stuff. So she and my friend Gary got me this other job last year with Ho River Brewing because they posted on one of those chat boards, like they were looking for an artist to do labels. And then we started talking, and I did, you know, labels and a logo. So that was fun. And that's just how it's been. Like I just am constantly like trying to promote people that I think are great, and obviously myself, and just the more art the better. With beer, like my
that's
two things
I feel. How do you like to drink your beer? Do you drink it out of the can ever? Do you always have the right glass? What are you eating?
Out of
are
a garbage can, just over my head.
That needs to be a label. Like someone with a garbage can full of beer just like going on their head.
I mean, I do have a large array of different beer glasses. But right now, my favorite beer glass are two Star Wars pint glasses that I got from this May the 4th from one of my favorite local bars, 4th Ave Pub in Brooklyn, near the Barclays Center. Mm-hmm. And that's like, that bar is pretty much it's a unofficial museum of my work. Like there's just like tons of bar posters that I've done for them. So
I love that.
That place is very cool. And I actually, during the lockdown, like this winter, they had to close. One of the owners, Kirk, has like this this steamy cheeseburger Christmas party that he invites like close friends to, and this was like the first one that wasn't going to happen because of the pandemic. But I had already started. There's a rule that you have to bring a Christmas ornament, preferably handmade, and I always make them handmade. So I'd already started like the Lego version of the Fourth Ave sign, and I finished that during the pandemic. And where the fourth is, like you can take that panel off, and it's like a beer with like a heart and two pint glasses. My girlfriend and I, like, that's all we've been doing this lockdown is like Legos. Like, my whole room is just filled with Legos right now. Like, that
you
one's
made
about
a Lego beer can.
Yeah, oh, well, it's a bar sign for Fourth Ave Pub. They had like two lights, and I forget which one was always dead, but one of them was always dead. So of course I have like a black light bulb in it because it never worked. But they have since fixed that like in the past couple of years.
I love that. I love how that's like you pass it all the time. You see it all the time. It's like that's the one that's out and it's part of it.
Yep.
What is the most interesting place that you've ever seen your beer being sold, or the most interesting venue that has ever carried it?
I was in Connecticut during this lockdown. My girlfriend and I got away for like a weekend, and we went to like Newport, and we were just buying beer. You know, they had a very good beer selection, and I just see Money IPA. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know we were in Connecticut. So that's always fun.
I would probably be so excited every single time. I don't know, I'm nervous, but I want to try home brewing. What was your experience like? What did you make? Did you, in your head, label it? Tell me about that.
Most of the beer that I made was terrible. The one good thing that I made was a ginger beer, and that was super spicy, super alcoholic, like 7.8%. And I would mix that with absinthe to make Wild Mules, and that would end the night.
that sounds awesome.
It's been a long time since I made them, but oh man, I do still miss the ginger beer.
Where were you living when you were doing that? Because I'm thinking like when I get back, I don't even know if in my apartment here I could do it, and then I'm thinking if when I'm back in New York, like New York City,
I'm sure you could. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was living, I had three roommates at the time living in Park Slope. Like, we had a pretty big apartment. And we had this one closet that was really good to store, like, five beer in. And, all you need is, like, a big kettle. Unfortunately, I don't have mine anymore. Like, I don't have any of my brew equipment anymore. Mm-hmm. It is very time consuming. But when you get good at it, it's really fun because then people get to drink your beer.
Yeah.
And I still have like, I bought like vintage bottle caps that say Birch Beer on them. So I use those like when I bottled beer.
As in like your last name.
Yeah. I made some labels and they are gross. Like I tried to think of the grossest names, like Sir Pepper Poopsie Poops.
Why?
Porter. I was like, oh, it's just like too much, man.
That is too
and then like a few years later I saw like the brown note from that one brand, I forget. But it took me a while to try that beer because it like just the poo stain on the underpants. Like I was
it's
like
hard
against
to get
the
over.
Grain. Yeah, I was like I couldn't drink it, but I found it on tap. And then I could try. I'm like, okay, that's a really actually is a really nice brown ale. So,
speaking of like on tap, I'm curious to know if you've ever done like design like tap handles or your personal feelings on like when they match or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they're not really a thing here in New York for the past few years. But I did one for Alewife when they were starting off. I have it on my holds kegs, a keg raider. So I have that permanently on mine. The problem is, it just got too crazy. Like, everyone was trying to one up everyone else with their cool tap handles. So bar owners just started, you know, making uniform ones that look cool.
Yeah.
Which is an art in itself. Like, yeah, for sure. Those can be really pretty too.
I just don't like when there's a specific beer handle and that's not the beer that's coming out. I'm like,
oh yeah,
I hate that.
Yeah, that's never fun. No.
I just, like, I don't know why that bothers me so much, but it really does. So
also beer glass with like the wrong brand in it.
Yep, that'll do it.
Because, like, if I'm drinking a barrier, I want people to know it's not a Founders, it's not a Lagunitas.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Okay, and then I want to give you an opportunity here a little bit to just kind of plug yourself. Like, where can people find you? Where can they see all your work?
Sure.
And then also, you mentioned like a really cool project that I'd love to hear about.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm on Instagram, DF Birch, easy to find. My website, dfbirch.com. If you type in DF Birch, you'll probably find me. I'm doing this. I was contacted by Salt, which here in New York helps underprivileged children from diverse backgrounds secure jobs in the arts. I mean, it's hard enough, so more so when you don't have the financial capabilities. So when they contacted me for a print for this thing, I was like, of course, of course. So like 100% of the profits go to the organization. Yeah, it was a drawing I did on my way out to Barrier, actually. It was a drawing of a junkyard of like all these old 80s cars, which I just thought looked cool. So when they came along asking for a print of something, I'm like, perfect, I'll use this.
Yeah.
So that's what I gave them. And so there's another week.
And what
for
was that organization called again?
SALT, SALT, NYC. It's printsbysalt.com. And there's like lots of great photographers and illustrators. And just look for Daniel Birch, and that's mine. So I think I got connected with them. It was like,
oh wow, these are amazing.
There's like this, yeah. There's like some great photographers that I actually follow, and I think I got connected through them through this bike event, Bike Kill. I was in like a few of their photos. Like every year, I seem to get like in a newspaper, like I dress up as a banana and go jousting and stuff. Like I get on all the bikes. Like they just make all these crazy monster bikes with like all these weird wheels and stuff. It's so much fun. It's just like a whole bunch of weirdos just listening to metal and biking around. So
I love it.
I think that's how I got connected. I don't know exactly who contacted me, but
well, that's awesome. So DF Birch on kind of everywhere, dfbirch.com.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. It's so exciting hearing about, you know, just, you know, where these labels come from and how these brands get to be the way that they are, and, you know, the personal history behind it, because, you know, you can't have anything super artistic and cool without that. So, yeah, well, thank you so much, Daniel. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jen.
Yeah. And I will talk to you soon.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great.
I really enjoyed chatting with Daniel, and I kind of loved this because, so I was introduced to him first rather than the brewery. And so, I mean, this is only half the story. Like, we're only hearing one side of it, because this is the first interview I've done, I think, where I don't have like someone either like the owners or head brewers or something are like deciding who I'm talking to. But anyway, so let me know what you think about the episode length. So I'm trying to make them shorter. What do you think about it? Do you prefer a lengthier episode or do you like it kind of shorter? I don't know what we're going to be doing going forward, so a little patience, please. Still testing things out. I'm new to this, seeing what works. But let me know what you think about like the shorter episode, and or let me know anything else you think, I guess. Email me. I'd really love to hear from you, like genuinely. Email me at pod@beercanlover.com. Or DM me if you want, if it's easier, on Instagram @beercanlover, where you can also see all of the things that we're talking about every week. So, okay, I feel like I'm trying to make this brief and I just keep talking. Okay, that is my cue. Okay, cheers.